time to take control of your happiness. This is Being Young at Any Age on EZ 1430. Now, here's your host, George Bentley.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Being Young at Any Age. This is your host, George Bentley. We're going to go on a path of self-leadership and create a transformational roadmap to help you achieve optimal health today. That's what this program is all about, achieving happiness, health, wellness, and vitality despite your current challenges. And I said, as I said in the last show, I describe it as how to die young at an old age. And we want to keep in our mind the differences between the concepts of age versus that of youthfulness, right? So last time we were talking about some of the challenges we face and how we need to be proactive in order to manage our lives going forward. And I'd like to share some facts with you here at this point. Since the dawn of human life on this earth, however it is we got here, every generation has had a longer life expectancy than the generation that preceded it. Do you realize that? Except for a small glitch in the mid-1800s due to the Black Plague and the Civil War, every generation of human life on this earth has had a successively longer life expectancy. Until when? Until now. For the last 2 years, according to the Center for Disease Control, the life expectancy in the United States has actually dropped. How can that possibly be? What we're going to be talking about on this show is all the amazing new technologies and science and information and knowledge and things that we can do to keep ourselves vital and vibrant and happy and active and contributing no matter what our age is. Again, being young at any age. And last time I shared with you the story of my dad at 99 years old having his aortic valve replaced, if you can imagine that. And he's like totally reclocked. But why is it that our life expectancy could possibly be dropping? Why aren't we all living to be 100 years or older? Our body is genetically engineered to live much longer than we are. We don't even know. There are people walking on this planet right now who truly, sincerely believe that we're going to discover how to live to be 100, 200, 300 years old. In my lifetime, some people think, you know, that may sound a little crazy, but I'm telling you, people believe that. What is the oldest we could possibly be? What do we know? Well, I can tell you that the longest documented human being to live that I've found so far, there may be somebody who has surpassed this that I don't know about, is a lady by the name of Jean Clément, who lived in France. And Ms. Clément lived to be 122 years old, documented, 122 years old. And I did some research on this lady, and it's kind of interesting. When she was a child, she sold pencils to Vincent van Gogh, art pencils. Her mom ran a little supply shop there in the village in France where she lived, and she actually sold art pencils to Vincent van Gogh. And she said that he wasn't a very fun person to be around. she didn't have a lot to say about him. But this lady outlived five different husbands. No divorces. She outlived five different husbands. She learned to ride a bicycle in her 90s. She smoked until she was 94 years old. And she quit smoking at 94. Why? Because she said men didn't like the smell of smoke on her, so she was going to stop smoking at 94 years old. She rode a bicycle until she was 102. Does this give you some idea of why this woman may have made it to 122 years? Again, being young at any age is what it's all about. So we don't make it to 100 or 120 because of what we do to our bodies. That's really it. And the life expectancy is dropping. Why? Because of what we're doing to our children. To our children. Think about this. From the dawn of life on this earth, for the first time ever, my children and my grandchildren have a shorter life expectancy than I do. That's crazy. It makes no sense. The positive side of that is we do have the technologies. We do have the ability to live healthy and vibrant lives. But as I was saying last time, it's us to up. Now, it's up. It's up to up. It's us to up. It's up to us. We have to be proactive and take advantage of these technologies. So let me ask you something. We're all suffering from these conditions that we refer to in Western medicine as age-related or degenerative health conditions. You know what I'm talking about, right? Arthritis, diabetes, insomnia, depression, multiple sclerosis, high blood pressure, low blood pressure. You just go down the list, right? And we're all suffering with some variation or version of this. And these are degenerative because life is really, as we live it, a point A, point B game. Remember last time I were talking about my grandfather, and I'm looking at his tombstone, and I see these two dates, the day he was born and the day he passed, and realizing how that really did not create the measure of his life and value on this earth. And it really was all about the dash. And it really is about every single day that we live and the decisions that we make in those days. So we're going to be talking about the four major areas that we need to be focused on. This is so simple. This is really simple. And I'm just a dumb old boy from Arkansas, right? I've got to dumb this down so that I can explain it to where I can understand it. And I need to be able to explain it to my 99-year-old dad so he understands it and doesn't get overwhelmed by it. So the information and the roadmap we're going to help you build is not complicated. You can do it, right? But think about this. If it's an A-B game, and I'm living my life the way I'm living it right now, I was born March 28, 1952, and I don't know what my exit date's going to be, but I know it's there. It's an A-B game, right? If I can do things today, right now, that help me extend that date. In other words, if I do nothing, I'm going to pass and degenerate at some point without having affected it one way or the other. If I change things and do things a little bit differently starting today, what if I can slow that process, right? Instead of at 80, it's 85 or 90 or 95 or 100 or 110 when I pass. What if I can slow that process down by following and applying the concepts and the technology and the ideas that we're going to be sharing in this show? Really being young at any age. Now think about this. I've worked with thousands of people, seniors, their adult children, and their caregivers over the last 15 years, thousands of them. And there are many who have stopped this process. They've stopped it. They're not becoming 17 years old, but they're not deteriorating at the rate they were before. They've slowed it, and then they've stopped it. What would that be worth to you? What would that be worth to society? What would that be worth to our economy and our culture to have people who are staying vibrant and healthy and slowing this process? Because I'm going to suggest to you, being a baby boomer, if we don't do something about our health, and baby boomers, we're going into old age kicking and screaming, right? You're my audience. You're the ones I want to talk to. Baby boomers and the parents of baby boomers. That's who I'm talking to because we're the ones that have the ability to move the needle and make a difference. And what if I improve it? I told you last time, and I'll tell you now, my dad at 99 years old is younger today than he was at 83. And again, tell me how you want to measure it. His brain function, his organ function, his blood work, his mobility, his strength. At 99, my dad uses no assistive device, not a cane, not a walker, nothing. When he was 83, he was using a cane, and he was on his way to a walker. We're going to visit, and I'm going to have on the show here one day, Ms. Phyllis Bennett, one of the first customers that I have with Bentley Baz. And when we met, Phyllis had been in a wheelchair, and she had a back surgery, and she was headed to a second one. Phyllis made some changes. She applied some of these concepts, started using some natural pain management processes that we're going to talk about. And guess what? She never had the second surgery, and Ms. Bennett is not in a wheelchair. And we have many, many stories like that that we can share with you. But we actually can improve our lives. We actually can do better. Okay, you with me on that? Again, you can agree, you can disagree, but the only thing I say is you have to answer for yourself why. Why do you agree with me? Why do you disagree with me? And then you will be a longevity head, right? Remember that? So I used to think that I was indecisive, but the older I get, I'm not so sure anymore. But I do want to reflect on these four secrets that I call them. And the first one is reduce stress. Stress is listed as the number one killer of people in the United States today. I was just, you know, discussing with the producer here a couple of weeks ago. I nearly got T-boned. You know, you talk about stress. Coming down to the studio to record today, I got flipped off. You know, I mean, it's just we live in a high stress environment. And our bodies were not necessarily designed to deal with this kind of stress. And we're going to have a show that talks specifically about it. But our brains are wired to deal with what is known scientifically as the concept of stimulus and response. I have a stimulus in my life, society, whatever it is, and I have a response to that. Well, 50,000 years ago, we would have a stimulus. Oh, my gosh, there's a saber-toothed tiger. It's going to eat me. And the response was you had to run for your life. If I wanted to eat, I might have to hunt and forage for days or weeks to be able to survive. The stimulus might not be so great. I'm cold, but I have to work for weeks to build myself a shelter to be able to survive through a winter. Now, in our society, we've turned it absolutely around the other way. We have mega stimulation. When I was a child, think about this. Maybe you can relate to this. I got in trouble. Because my mother would get mad at me because she would go to the front door and be yelling out the neighborhood for me to come home. George, get home. George, come home. Come inside. It's time for dinner. It's time to go to bed. Get in the house. Right? We were out running, playing, active all the time. And getting us in the home to go to bed was my mom's biggest challenge. Today, I yell at my kids, get out of the house, get off the phone, get off the computer, go out and do something, walk, go into nature. It's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. And if you stop and think about what we're doing to our children, technology, I love it. This show's about technology. I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank God for Mr. Google. You know, I talk to this guy all the time. It's amazing. But we have to use it in productive and healthy ways. Or it will help us to not be healthy, right? It'll move us into more of a degenerative process. So right now, we're in an environment where there's huge stimulation and there's not much response required. Kids sitting there watching these games and videos and stuff, and they're moving their thumbs, right? We need to think about that. So I'm going to suggest to you, there are a lot of different technologies that we'll look at as we go through the program. But I'm going to ask you right now, what do you think is the number one most powerful way to right now today that you can do, doesn't cost a penny, that will have the most significant impact on reducing your stress? What might that be? And I'm going to tell you, it's laughter. It's humor. It's having fun. It's enjoying your life, right? People say, have you ever heard the laughter is the best medicine? Have you ever heard that statement? I believe that to be true. Do you know where that comes from? I actually believe it comes from the Bible. I believe it comes from the Bible. In the Old Testament, Proverbs 17:22 says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." So all you folks out there with broken spirits, you know, your bones are drying up. And it actually is a fact, okay? It's a scientifically proven fact, and we're going to talk about some of these things. You know, I told you last time, my dad, 99 years old, and we're working on this. He still drives. And you know how I talk to my dad about that? I say, you know, Dad, do you realize that naps prevent old age, especially when you take them while you're driving? So my biggest concern, of course, is, you know, he'll end up napping while he's driving. And I tell people, you know, we got to think about our health and things that we can do better. And I look at a lot of different programs and stuff like that. And right now I'm on a vodka diet. And I'm really enjoying it. But it's very effective because as of this point, I've only been on it for a couple of weeks. But I've already lost 3 days. So, I mean, that's pretty good, right? And I tell people if stress burned calories, I'd be a supermodel, right? But it doesn't. It doesn't. It creates ill health for us, all right? So let's just talk about some of the factors around laughter and why laughter is so important to us. And in other shows, I'll give you statistics and facts, and I'll cite you. By the way, if offline you join our group and you become part of our tribe, if you will. I'll turn you on to my inner circle of experts and resources that I've developed. Again, I don't know everything. In fact, I'd say I'm just a dumb old boy from Arkansas. But I've asked a lot of questions. Remember, we talk about saying why? Well, I've asked why for a lot of years now, and that's the only reason I know what I know. And you can do the same thing. And there are other people who have the knowledge, and my job is to help us get connected with those experts and the people who know more about these things than I do. So, for example, the Mayo Clinic has been doing research, laughter therapy to treat cancer. And there are other hospitals doing it. So there is scientific evidence out there. But I want to talk to you about some of the key elements. Laughter is a natural painkiller. How many of you are in pain? I'm in pain. Right. Remember I asked last time, you might be a longevity head if you ever threw your back out sneezing. I did that. I sneezed and I threw my back out, man. And I was like down for 3 days, you know, and I was in pain. And I did laugh about it, and it did take a little time to heal. But the fact of the matter is laughing produces endorphins. They're known as the happy brain chemical that acts like a natural painkiller. You know, it soothes stress. They help reduce anxiety, ease chronic pain, and just make you feel really, really well. They do. They feel good. So think about it as an antidote to pain versus taking a medication or a prescription to help you manage your pain. Laughter has also been proven to strengthen your heart. You could go for a walk, you know, or you could laugh. You could go for a walk with a friend, enjoy a laugh or two while you're walking. Either way, you're getting great cardiovascular workouts. Cardiovascular activities like laughing, walking, running, cycling strengthen the heart muscle by accelerating your heart rate. Now the phrase laugh your heart out kind of makes more sense, doesn't it? So I'm challenging you to think about what you can do to practice these arts of laughter, right? These little tricks to after. Laughter wards off disease. Laughter is a form of protection for our body. In fact, Harvard revealed that the more you laugh and approach life positively, the fewer chronic diseases you'll develop. On the other hand, those who are constantly negative risk a higher possibility of developing chronic ailments such as hypertension and diabetes. I work with people all day, every day. And let me tell you, we're going to share the stories of some of these people on the program as time goes on. They have horrific challenges in their lives. I met a lady, and I'm going to see if I can get her on the show. I won't use her name until I get permission. Cool. But this lady, at 4-point quadriplegic, you know, she has a little bit of use of her hands. She's wheelchair bound. She's very young. I think she's in her early 30s. Got a very attentive, loving husband with her. It's MS. She's got rapidly degenerating multiple sclerosis. And I went to their home. I'm there to help them figure out how to modify her home so she can bathe and hopefully get some of her independence back. So I walk in this home, and here she is, of course, confined to a wheelchair. And as I'm walking through to go back to the kitchen to sit down and talk with her and her husband, I notice there are 4 Down syndrome children in the living room. And before I sit down, I hear dogs barking. And I sit down, and they immediately start to apologize. But they provide foster care for kids, and they also are rescuing dogs that have been abused and mistreated. And she was apologizing for this litter of Chihuahuas that they had saved, because she's saying, "We're my husband and I, we're trying to teach them how to be a dog. They don't know how to be dogs." And I'm like, wow, what kind of a bright light this person facing the challenges she is, and she is contributing and giving back to others. Are you with me? Do you understand what I'm trying to say here? We can be positive. We can help others no matter what we're dealing with. And here's a good one, especially for the ladies. I need it, definitely, right? If I really laugh hard, you know, I actually will tone my abs up. Yeah, the abdominal muscles really do work out when you get a good belly laugh going. That's why we call it a belly laugh. It causes those muscles to contract and flex, you know. So get out there and laugh. It'll make you skinny. It'll make your tummy tighten. Your pants will fit better. You know, another fact is that laughing boosts immunity. I didn't know this, but it's true. Laughter has now been proven. Not only is it a good medicine to consider for other reasons, but it activates your body's T cells, the immune system cells, to help you ward off germs, flus, and illness. Just ask psychology and neuroscience professor Robert R. Provin, who studies the health benefits of laughter at the University of Maryland in Baltimore. And he penned the book, Laughter, A Scientific Investigation. That means if you feel a sniffle or a sore throat coming on, go see a rip-roaring comedy to boost your immunity. It truly will make a difference. My wife and I go to comedy shows all the time, and there are a lot of young stand-ups out here that I've been following since they were in the bars and the dives for open mics, and it was really great to see one of these young comics opening for David Cross a couple of weeks ago. Laughter also decreases blood pressure. Do you struggle with high blood pressure? Let me tell you something. For 4 years, my doctor's been telling me, your blood pressure a little high, blood pressure a little high. And I have refused to take any medication for it, but I've upped my laughter, and I still don't need any medications for my blood pressure. Again, University of Maryland School of Medicine, laughter has been linked to lowering the risk of heart attack and stroke, okay? And I think laughter banishes the stress issue. You got a rough day at the office, you're suffering from stress and anxiety due to deadlines or children or paperwork or illness or whatever it is, you know, pull somebody aside and tell them a joke, you know, read them a cartoon, pull out a book of jokes and see if you can make somebody else laugh. Because I'm going to tell you something about that in a few minutes that's true. And laughter, I believe, also helps those that are suffering from depression. A 2011 study at Oxford University showed how laughter could improve one's overall outlook on life. When the research team conducted a series of experiments that monitored groups of participants watching, comedies like sitcoms and live comedy, it found that the act of laughing eased emotional and physical discomfort and pain significantly. So it's not just all fun and games. Laughter really will help you be healthier, and it will help your body reduce its stress. And remember me saying, you know, our life is just a series of these days. We want to thrive now. We want to be young at any age, and we want to be young every day, right? Thrive now. Do it today. And so my dad's life, I'm in my seminars and stuff, I mark these key days in my dad's life, and one of those key days was February 4th, 2008. And I get a call from my dad, and he says, "We got to talk, George." And I'm like, whoa. Well, let me tell you, the last time my dad said that to me, the next words out of his mouth were, "I have malignant oral cancer, and they want to operate on Thursday." This was a Tuesday. Okay. And I'm like, whoa, you know, and we'll talk about that later. But long story short, my dad came through that. And humor had a lot to do with it, by the way. But this time he says, "We got to talk." And I'm like, whoa, you know, let me sit down, Dad. What's this going to be? And I sit down, and he continues, as well, "I'm dating." I'm like, whoa, Dad, you're dating. Okay, cool. Gosh, I thought it was, whoa. I was prepared for something really bad. He says, "Well, it's not funny." And I go, "No, Dad, it is funny." But he thought I was laughing at him, right? And he goes, "Well, we're not serious. We're just dating." I'm like, "Dad, it's cool. It's good, man." At that point, he was 90 years old, right? And I'm going, "Dude, you don't need to think about anything but having fun, right? And if you're having fun with Gracie, that's a great thing. Just have fun." And then I decided I'm going to poke him a little bit, right? Yeah. And so I said, "Well, Dad, you and Gracie are dating now? How long have you been dating?" He goes, "Oh, about a month or so." And I say, "Do we need to have the talk, Dad?" And he's like, "Well, we are talking." I said, no, Dad. I mean, you know, the talk." And he's like, "I'm not following you, George." And I'm like, "Dad, you know, the talk you never had with me." And he's like, "I'm not getting it. What are you talking about?" And I said, okay, Dad. "Do we have to have a talk about safety?" And there's this pause. And he goes, "Oh, Oh, no, George, no, no, no. You don't need to worry about me. I wear my seatbelt. I'm always going to wear my seatbelt. You don't need to worry about that. I'm like, okay, never mind. Never mind. It just went completely over his head. But the fact of the matter was he was really enjoying life and having a good time. A couple hours later, he figured that when he told Gracie what I'd said, she got it. She cracked up. But anyway, my dad's kind of a funny guy. But I said, you know what, Dad? I want to make a challenge. This was 2008, remember? February 14th, 2008, Valentine's Day. I said, let's make a pact together, an agreement that we'll agree that we'll keep for the rest of our life. And he goes, cool, I'll do that. Well, but wait a minute, what is it? Right? And I go, well, look, let's make an agreement that every single day before our feet hit the floor to go out and start our day and live our day, we will sincerely and honestly say to ourselves, this is going to be the best day of my life. This is going to be the best day of my life. And let me tell you, this morning before I got up, I said that to myself. And so what? I know this is the best day of my life. It's what I've got. I'm living it right now. I don't know when it might end, but I'm living this one pretty good. We're having a good time here in the studio, right? And Dad said, sure, I can do that. And he said, well, what's the other part? And I said, well, let's agree that before we go to bed, before our feet leave the floor to get into bed and go to sleep at night, we will have made at least one other person laugh. We make that commitment. He goes, yeah, I can do that. And it's funny. Every now and then at 7:30 at night, I'll get a call from my dad. Hey, did you hear the one about? You know, I'm like, okay, Dad, I'm laughing. You can go to bed. But imagine how popular my dad is, okay? My dad is just loved by everybody because he's constantly looking at a way he can make other people laugh and enjoy life. And he's really good at making fun of himself. You know, he was telling me about how he had lunch with the Queen, and I'll have to show you this picture, but it's a beautiful thing where He and Gracie were the Valentine's Day king and queen in the senior center there in Marlton where he goes hang out and stuff, okay? We also want to think about technologies that can help us reduce stress, and we'll get into a lot more detail about these sort of things in other shows. But we've developed a technology, a therapy called medical hydrotherapy. It's been used for years by athletes. It's a natural process of providing non-aggressive whole body massage. It's a beautiful thing to do to help us. For example, that's the therapy and the technology Ms. Bennett used to help her improve her health condition. And we're going to teach you about these options and possibilities and how they're natural ways of helping to heal. I've only got a few more minutes, but real quickly, I do want to go over the other secrets so you'll know what's coming down the pipeline. We're going to talk about avoiding injury. You know, our bodies are like cars. They're internal combustion engines, and we can't just stick a new fender on. So we need to think about the things that we expose our bodies to that are injurious and be proactively thinking about how we can prevent them from happening. Told you the story about Coach McCartney, former CU Buffalo's head coach, and he didn't think he had any mobility issues. Until I asked him to show me how he got into and out of this huge garden tub that he had to get into. And in that process, he's like, ooh, this is dangerous, isn't it? So think about yourself and your loved ones. Look at your environment. See how people get into and out of bathtubs and showers. See what's around your house. Think constantly about how you can minimize your risk of injury. And my mom fell in the bathtub and broke her hip and died, right? I'm telling you that this is epidemic. It happens every 15 seconds, over 4 million times a year just in the United States, okay? The next secret is eat right. And I'm not talking about just food, but we're going to cover nutrition. Nutrition is pretty easy. I'm going to lay it out for you and you'll be able to handle it. But I'm also going to talk to you about the other things we put in our body, like pharmaceuticals and water and things like that, and things we can do proactively to help make ourselves healthier. And the last thing, of course, is exercise. Your doctor is telling you to exercise, not to build muscle and be like Arnold Schwarzenegger, but to move your body. And we're going to talk about the systems that are involved and help us be healthy when we move our body and exercise. And we're going to make you aware of cutting-edge technologies that you can use to accomplish this. Even if you're paralyzed, you can get the benefit of exercise without having to physically move your body enough to sweat and build muscle. So those are the things that we've got coming. And again, I'm telling you, I need your help. This is George Bentley. We're Being Young at Any Age, and I want to help you discover how to die young at an old age. And we're on our path. So we'll see you here next week. In the meantime, laugh, 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 laugh. Contact us at our website, www.beingyoungatanyage.com, or call us at 303-388-8887, and we'll get you going.
Thanks for listening to Being Young at Any Age with George Bentley. Tune in next weekend to learn how to create a roadmap to achieve happiness, health, and wellness today on EZ 1430.